Good morning and welcome. It's good to see everyone this morning. Today, of course, is a day that our country has set aside to remember mothers. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 2 tells us to honor our fathers and our mothers. Mother's Day came about really as kind of a grassroots movement. One woman in particular loved her mother and started a kind of a carnation thing. That was her mother's favorite flower, and kind of caught on. And finally, Woodrow Wilson was the one who declared the second Sunday in May as the day that we would observe as a nation as Mother's Day. I just find a lot of that to be really interesting. Why would he pick a Sunday, do you think? I think it probably because of that culture at that time. Our nation at that time was a church-going nation, and it was a nation that did honor the Word of God, honored passages such as Ephesians 6 and verse 2, and it was mothers who had a great deal to influence us spiritually, and so don't let that get out to the feminists today and the liberals today. They'll probably want to take Mother's Day away from us. It's not a religious holiday. It is a secular holiday. But it is a holiday that's in agreement with the Word of God. We should indeed honor our mothers. And we welcome those of you who are here today visiting with us because your mother worships with us. Some of you have traveled long distances to be able to do so, and we take note of you honoring your mother, and I assure you that your mother does as well. I want to present a lesson this morning that we've presented before. As I was thinking about Mother's Day and looking over other things that I've done before, I came across this particular lesson, and I thought, you know, this is pretty good. I think, anyway, good things to be reminded of, regardless of who's doing the preaching. You know, from time to time, you're going to have a lesson, or should have a lesson on mothers and how we should honor them. And mothers need to be reminded of what God expects of us as mothers. So if we use the word mother as an acronym and we look at the first letter M here. Occurs to me that mothers are managers. Proverbs 31 and verse 27 says, "She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness." She watches over the ways of her household. What does that mean? Well, she manages her household. She makes sure that what needs to be done is getting done. She knows what has to be done. And she makes sure that it's getting done. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 14, we read, "I desire that young widows marry, bear children, manage the house," the New King James Version says, "and give no opportunity to the adversary to speak reproachfully." You know, it's not good that man should be alone. It's not good that women should be alone. Paul wrote to Timothy here, and he says, "My desire is that younger widows, those who are young enough and have a lot of their life ahead of them, they could be productive as wives and mothers, should engage in that. They should bear children and manage the house," just as we notice there in Proverbs 31 and verse 27. She is to be obedient, as we look at the letter O. You know, even as you look at Mary, the mother of Jesus, and the angel came and told her that she was going to have a child, going to have a son, and they would name his name Jesus. Mary said to the angel, he says, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." She didn't understand how this was possible, how that she could have a child since she had never had sexual relations with any man And it was all an amazement to her. But this attitude of let it be to me according to your word is an attitude of obedience. It's an attitude of submission. It's an attitude that God said that women particularly should have all the way back to the Garden of Eden, and that her husband would have the rule over her, be part of the consequence of her transgression. We could look at several mothers throughout the Old Testament who had up until a point in time been barren, and they had prayed to God for a child, and some of those who even prayed that if they had a child, that they would dedicate it to the Lord, and they followed through with that, and we can see their submission and their obedience and their commitment to their children as well as to the Lord. 1 Peter 3 in verse 1 says, "Wives, be submissive to your own husbands, that if in some they do not obey the word, if some of your husbands do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives." Be submissive to your husbands, even if your husband is not a Christian, if your husband is an unbeliever, you can still be submissive to them, honoring them as the head of the household. And you can, and by your submission to them, because you have first and foremost submitted yourself to God, and you understand the order of God within the family, and you're respecting that, and you're respecting all things that God teaches you to do, in particular as it pertains to a wife and a mother, and you conduct yourself in righteousness and godliness and holiness before an unbelieving husband. He says, you know, people are going to take notice of that. Your husband will take notice of that. He might, without a word, of course, it's going to take the word of God to convert him, seeing the word of God living in you, being demonstrated in you, will have a great influence upon them in wanting to see and hear the word of faith and practice it themselves. Verse 5 of 1 Peter 3 goes on to say, "In this manner, in former times, the holy of women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands." They adorned themselves with submission, submission to God and submission to their husbands. As we look at the letter T, we can say that a mother is a teacher. Proverbs 31 and verse 26 says, "She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness." And Proverbs 22 and verse 6 tells us to train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Wouldn't it be wonderful if every mother was a mother that is as depicted here in Proverbs 31 and verse 26, that she opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. Not every mother is like that. The mothers that we have assembled with us today, I believe, are like that, and we should be not only honoring our mothers, but we need to be thankful to God for our mothers if we have such a mother. That she is one who not opens her mouth with her own wisdom, but her wisdom is founded in and centered in the wisdom of God's Word. That on her tongue is the law of kindness. That you have a mother that speaks to you with kindness. She might be firm. Sometimes you have to be hard, but she's fair. Yeah, as you look at what she said, "Well, I deserve that." And I'm glad she's correcting me, and I'm glad she's directing me in the paths of righteousness and in the ways of wisdom. Indeed, if we train up a child in the way they should go, they will not depart from it. We know in practice that some do depart from the way that they should go. We also know in practice that those who do depart from the way that they should go because of what is instilled with them in their young lives and when they come to themselves as the prodigal son did, as he was out and wasted his life in sinful living and so forth, that hopefully those children who depart from the way of wisdom and the way of God come to their senses and remember the things that they were taught when they were young, whether it be from their mother or their father or from their Bible class teacher or whoever it might be. And remember that there is a God who loves them. There is a God who sacrificed His Son to pay the price for their sin. There is a God who seeks to redeem you and to be reconciled to you. And many times those children who have departed from the faith return to the way of God because of the things that they learned from their primary teacher, their mother, and their father. The word H certainly should stand for the word honorable. We are to honor our parents, our mothers. In Proverbs 31, again, we come back to that wonderful passage, verses 28 and 29, says that her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Who can find a virtuous woman? Are you mindful of how many virtuous women there are present in this assembly today? You know, that when we say you are blessed, when a husband praises his wife and the mother of his children, they're not just empty words, that she's well deserving of those words of praise and those words of honor. Amen. We should thank God every day for His Word as He's delivered it to us in what we call the Bible, and for the living Word that we see in our parents and godly people around us who encourage us and influence us and set the example. And we say, you know, they're not just words in a book. They're words that people live by. They're words that people are embracing and glorifying God by living those words that are found there. And they're embracing a valid hope of eternal life in the presence of God. So we look at the letter E. We certainly see that mothers are encouragers. The Bible says in Proverbs 1 and verses 8 and through 9, it says, "My son, hear the instruction of your father, and do not forsake the law of your mother, for they will be a graceful ornament on your head and chains about your neck." Those aren't iron chains. Those are, you know, gold chains and things like that. It's a beautiful adornment that when you listen to the instruction of a godly father and mother, the desire for you to walk in the paths of righteousness and the way of light. And as you embrace that and walk in that, and you see how much better your life is because you're walking in the way of God and not in the way of the world, be thankful for parents who taught you to honor and respect God and to live in His way. Proverbs 14 and verse 1 says, "A wise woman builds her house, but a foolish one pulls it down with her hands." And that doesn't mean that women are to go out there and, you know, lay the foundations and, you know, put up the framework and the drywall and all that, right, Bruce? We're not talking about building a physical house. We're talking about building her house, encouraging her household, building up her household. Let me ask you something here, young people. Is your mother encouraging you to walk in the way of the Lord? Have you obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Have you turned your life over to Him? Does your mother encourage you to do that? Has your mother spoken to you or your father spoken to you about, you know, you recognize that you're of an age that it's not just wrong to disobey us, but when you disobey us and you disobey the laws of the land and you disobey the laws of God, you disobey God. And the Bible identifies that disobedience as sin. And the practice of that sin separates you from God. We've taught you about God. We've taught you about His love. And we've taught you about the redemption that is provided in Jesus Christ. We've taught you about the reconciliation that God desires to have with each of us. Your mother has encouraged you to obey the gospel. There's nothing that would bring more joy to your mother and to your heavenly Father than to see you accept the sacrifice that was offered on your behalf in the blood of Jesus Christ and set your sins to have them washed away in His blood and to rise to walk with Him in newness of life and to continue to walk with Him in the light as He is in the light. Mothers, the letter R, are reverent. They revere the Word of God. They revere their place in life. I've often marveled at, it seems to me anyway, that women are more readily hear the Word of God and realize their need of obedience to it. Part of the reason, I think, is because they recognize that God's Word is holy. You know, we'd say, well, how is it that a woman can submit to a husband in marriage? How is it that a woman can be a leader in the home, but also be in submission to her husband? How does that work? Well, it works in business, doesn't it? Not everybody's the CEO of the company, are they? Everybody has their place and their responsibility. And so we recognize our responsibility and we fulfill it. Women do that in their homes. And they recognize that not only is this the will of God, but that homes run much better that way. That it is indeed the very example of what God has given to us in His Word. That we recognize in the military, we call it a chain of command. In the Bible, you know, we recognize God the Father and God the Son. And the Son is in submission to the Father. And we recognize that we are in submission to Christ and the Father in being in submission to Christ. And that the woman is to be in submission to the man. That if we get any of those out of order, that what we have is chaos rather than order, rather than what God has revealed to us as what works and what is beneficial to us. Proverbs 31 and verse 30 says, "Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised." 2 Timothy 1 and verse 5 says, "I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, Timothy, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice. And I am persuaded in you also." A woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. In Proverbs 31, the woman of Proverbs 31 was one that her husband praised, her children praised. And here we see the primary reason she is praised is not just the fact that she managed her house and encouraged her house and took care of her household and all of those things, but she first and foremost, she did all of that because she revered God. And she did what God taught her to do. She is worthy of praise. And here's the other thing. Not only is she praised by her family, she's praised by God because she's doing what God has designed for her to do. Timothy had a genuine faith. Where did that faith come from? Well, it came from the Word of God. But where did he hear it? Where did he see it lived? Where did he see the godly character? He saw it in his grandmother and in his mother. They taught him. And say, well, what about his father? Well, we know his father was a Greek, that he was a Gentile. Maybe he didn't embrace the law of God. Maybe he didn't live by it. But you see, by them living godly lives, I don't know if their godly lives influenced Timothy's father, but I'll tell you who they did influence. They influenced Timothy. They influenced Timothy. So, wives, if you're here today and you have a husband, a father who does not revere God and does not keep his commandments, do not lose heart. Do not give up on living a godly life, the life that God teaches us to live. Because who knows but what the situation is going to come up in that husband's life sometime that he's going to see that he needs God. And he needs to see God living in you. But I'll tell you one thing. Your children need to see God living in you. And they need to hear the Word of God coming from your lips. They need to read the Word of God with you. They need to be taught in the ways of God and to revere God and to keep His commandments. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verses 3 and 4, it says, "Do not let your adornment be merely outward, in the arranging of hair and the wearing of gold and the putting on of fine apparel, but rather let it be the hidden person of the heart with an incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God." You know, we get caught up so many times in what am I going to wear? What am I going to wear for this occasion and that occasion? And all of those things. And it's not that there's anything wrong with that. But God is saying, first and foremost, let your adornment be the hidden person of the heart. And don't let it be hidden. Let it be evident that you are one who is of an incorruptible beauty, of a gentle and quiet spirit, a godly character, that it's evident to all that you serve God, that, you know, this isn't just, that your gentle and quiet spirit isn't just something that, a way that you've tried to depict. It's not something that you've chosen, that this is your style, but you've chosen God's style for the character, for your character. And you're letting it not only be seen and evident to all, but the reason that you have such a spirit is because you believe in God. And you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And you believe that He's provided salvation for us and for all who will turn to Him. So, as we indeed honor our mothers today, we have much to consider, don't we? If you have such a mother, you have a reason to rejoice. You have a reason to be thankful. And as a congregation, we have a reason to be thankful and to rejoice that we have so many mothers that are living up to this standard that God has set for us as mothers. Let's be thankful for them. Let's let them know that we honor them, that they honor us. Just by their godly character and showing us the way of Christ living in them. Are you one of those here today who's been encouraged by your mother to live a godly life? And as you consider your life, you're saying, well, I haven't given my life to Him. I don't know why I haven't. I believe in God. I don't want to sin. I want to go to heaven. I want to walk in the way of God. I want to honor God. I just haven't obeyed Him in baptism. Well, why not take care of that today? Why not confess Him before men as the Son of God and our only Savior and obey Him being baptized for the remission of your sins and rise to walk with Him in newness of life, walking in the pathway of light that leads to the source of all light, our God and our Father who art in heaven. You're subject to the invitation today. We'd encourage you to come as we stand and sing this song.